My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. It's fun, folks. We have an Illini basketball game to talk about. It's the Illini's 82-75 victory over Kansas in the Maui Strong fundraising game that never happened. Obviously, it was just an exhibition, but when you get a victory over the number one team in the country, it's worth talking about. I'll be back with Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, and Matt Stevens right after this. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. And as promised, this is Mike Kegley. We got Brad Sturdy on the phone, just coming out of press conferences with Bill Self and along with Terrence Shannon Jr. and Coleman Hawkins and of course, yep. Brad Underwood. Brad, you got a chance to digest it from down there in first row. What are your thoughts come to mind coming out of this game?
Yeah, it's amazing the difference when you have a bunch of old guys. I mean, last year, Illinois had been trying to close this game out with some freshmen, and occasionally that things went well. You know, we saw the Texas game, maybe things went well. We saw a lot of times, whether it's Indiana or Iowa, or some games where they didn't go so well, you know, where they didn't close them out as well. So, that was the wildest thing when you looked out on the floor. You had Coleman Hawkins, who is a senior who will be 22 years old in October, December, was the youngest player on the floor for Illinois. I mean, that's one of the oldest teams I've ever seen. That's a crazy, crazy stat. The other thing was Illinois showed they can compete with them. Kansas is really good. I mean, I want you to understand, like, a lot of people say, well, this, you know, I don't know how good they are, not deep, whatever. Their defenders, their four perimeter defenders are fantastic. Dwan Harris, fantastic point guard. KJ Evans can just guard any position 1-4. McCullers, a great defender, long. They're really good. And obviously they have Hunter Dickinson inside who's a really tough matchup. So they're really good, and Illinois showed that they can go toe-to-toe with them. Yes, it was at home, and yes, they had a crowd. You know, they were fired up. But this was – both teams played to win this game. This wasn't a situation. Now, has anybody put anything in and set up plays or done all these things? They ran some ATOs at different times, but nobody's really ready for a game, to be honest. I mean, you know, of this level. So, but it was fun to see when you just go out there and ball out, Illinois can hang with the number one team in the country.
Yeah, I thought that in fairness to Kansas, I think they're a very, very good team. I think they're a top 10 team. I think their depth is the only issue that I see giving them, quote, troubles. And again, that's a first world problem because they're so they're so darn good. But I'm not certain they're a number one team. I feel a little bit like when Wisconsin was ranked in football this year, number 15. It's not that they're not a good team, but they're probably not a top 15 team. And this team, I think, might be a 7-15 team. But you're right, though, on a night that McCullers is playing like he did tonight, they can knock off anybody in the country.
Yeah, and yet McCullers plays that well offensively, yeah. and Dickinson's out good offensively, and Illinois still beats them.
Yeah.
You know, so it gives you, it's got to, you know, Illinois fans should be happy where their team's at and where the program's at right now. They're a team that can compete with anybody on these nights.
Yes, I agree. Kedrick, what was your first impression coming out of the game from your vantage point?
Well, I think a lot of people are trying to minimize it. I'm not going to do that. You know, what would have the situation and the narrative would have been if Illinois would have lost? They, whether we think or not, they're the number one team in the country, and I certainly don't think so. I really don't. But they are. Illinois played them. They beat them. And they did try to win. Both teams tried to win. Sitting at press row, I heard everything Bill Self said. He rolled the officials. He rolled his team. He rolled Hunter Dickinson. He rolled McCullough every time Taylor Shannon scored. This game mattered. You know, they're going, of course, they're going to say to you, the coaches, oh, and the cause is important. I mean, I'm not saying that. But if you play sports, and the three of us have, if you're competitive, winning matters. And I guess to me, if I learned anything, Brad Underwood did and his staff, Chester Frazier, Tim Anderson, Jeff Alexander, and Hamer, the whole crew, they did a really good job of finding guys that fit what they need. You know, Justin Harmon, I mean, what a find. Marcus Domas, yeah, a guy who missed a basketball in Wisconsin, but that guy's a gamer. And the threes that he missed, they went in and went out. This team can play with anybody on a neutral court. I'll say that right now. And it's only one game. And I guess if I had any concerns, and it's not, it is the free throw shooting, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But I just tweeted when I left State Farm Center, Illinois shot 66% from the free throw line, but KU shot 63%. So they weren't much better. But that's one area that they got to improve on.
Yeah, I agree. To me, and then I'll flip it over to Brad. To me, we'll switch up a little bit here. The two areas of improvement that I saw, and some of this is just because it's early, and they're, as Brad pointed out, we're not really ready for games yet, but I thought there's some things in the pick and roll and some of the defensive rotations that need work on. And the other thing is free throw shooting, which, again, I guess I've always kind of targeted my teams to start at about 75% if in a perfect world. Brad, but I tell you, that's a, when you're playing the number one team in the country in exhibition and that's all you got, that's a pretty good performance. Brad?
Yeah, that's not bad. The one thing I'll say about free throw shooting, it wasn't great, but down the stretch, you have guys like, if you look at the guys who are on the floor, and Damask is a 90% free throw shooter. Terrence Shannon's a good free throw shooter. Gray was 8 out of 10 from the line. Yep. Harmon's a good free throw shooter. Colvin Hawkins, you know, has really improved his free throw. You can see he's got more arch on it and just looks like a better stroke. So maybe at the end of the games, you're going to have guys on the floor who make free throws. That may make a difference, right? You know, at the end of games, closing things out. But I do think if I have a concern, Mike, my concern is, again, I think Kansas does a great job defensively and they pressure really well. But Illinois has two teams on their schedule in Tennessee and Marquette who are fantastic defensive teams as well and will really get after them defensively. So this was a great litmus test for them to get ready for those games. I mean, we often think, you know, oh, it's just one, every game is different. But now Illinois has to feel like, you know, they don't have that guy. Like, they don't have a guy like DeJuan Harris, like Kansas has, who just is in control of the game and gets the ball to the right people and so forth and so on. 8 assists, 1 turnover today. They don't have that guy. But what they can do is find a way to get the ball to the right person. You saw them handle the pressure. You know, Damask isn't going to blow by people bringing it up, but they can find the right matchup, have them bring it up the floor. And I think you saw some really good, really good potential there that they're going to have to show if they want to beat a Tennessee or a Marquette.
Well, for me, if I had one concern the whole night, is some of the sad faces leaving the court. I think they're deep, but there's just not enough minutes. A lot of people have talked all year about can't go 10, 11 deep. As good as Imani Hansberry and Draymond Crawford has been, and even Sincere Harris, they didn't get a lot of minutes tonight. And that, number one, tells you that they wanted to win, which I get and I understand. But keeping those guys happy is going to be hard. And that's going to be tough right under with, because to me, as a coach, my message is learn. get better, you know, but it's obviously going the high school, you know, route again. Those guys, they're going to be gone next year. But, you know, even like Luke Goody didn't have a great game. I think KU pickled him a little bit with Adams. Brad told him one time to gasp a few times and it was a tough matchup. Every time Luke went into the game, if people remember, they attacked him right away. That's why Quincy got so many minutes, I think, even though he started. That's why I think if Brad tried to go with him, but the move, you know, the youth movement is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the players, but, you know, I guess that's why Brad makes the big bucks.
Yeah.
You know how you get more minutes, Ked? Play better. Play better.
You know, I know that, but it's hard to say.
No, I know you do, but I'm just saying, like, those guys got to come out and play better. I thought, I will say the two guards actually looked like they belonged out there in Moretti and Draven Gibbs Lawrence. I thought Imani really struggled. I mean, he just didn't look like he was ready to go against a guy like Hunter. So, which is understandable as a freshman against a senior All-American. I get it. That's not an easy thing. I mean, and so I think he'll be fine. I think you're going to see those guys get some more minutes when they play EIU in 8 days, and they'll get their opportunity to kind of, you know, get their feet wet and understand this is an awful tough team to go out there and say, hey, by the way, let's go against the number one team in the country that plays fantastic defense. Have fun.
Yeah, I do think that's a challenge. Matt, you were there. Anything that jumped out at you from a concern standpoint? It was a good showing when you beat the number one team in the country, even if it is just an exhibition. But anything that jump out to you?
I would have thought maybe Illinois gets more out of Luke Goody and Dane Danger tonight, but I'm not going to write them off, you know, after this. So that would be my only kind of concern tonight. I don't have that many, to be honest. I was very, very impressed. So those are two veteran guys that you think you're going to have more out of in this rotation. But I'm not writing them off of a charity exhibition game that gets wiped away immediately now, and you're still, now you're 0-0 and you're going into a season. But I do think, you know, you're going to need something out of those two guys coming off the bench this year, and I think that for the most part, I think this team feels like they're going to get it. So that'd be the only one.
You know, Brad, is there any way that you can reach out to Kentucky and get some notes on how they do, you know, years ago when they did their hockey lines? Maybe that's the advice that Coach Underwood needs.
Yeah, it'd be a different look. I do think that, you know, you saw that, though. They did play. I mean, they had played nine guys literally 5 minutes into the game. And so those nine guys had got immediate time. I think the hard part is getting to 12, you know, finding minutes for those guys. But here's the other part. You also didn't have fouls to worry about today.
Yeah,
because they couldn't foul out. When you get in a game and you have fouls to worry about, it's conceivable you could have Dane Danger get a couple fouls and Coleman Hawks get a couple fouls, and then you're going to need Imani Hansberry, you know, or maybe you get a situation where, you know, you got one of your guards. And the other part that we can't, and you never want to say it's going to happen, we saw it tonight when they had the dive and Gray and McCullers get tangled up, and you can have an injury. And you get an injury, and now those guys got to step up, and that's where they have to be ready. And when you get that opportunity, you got to seize it. So, yeah, I think that you're going to have to see, you know, I think it's going to be 9 to 10 guys, and it's figuring out who those guys are going to be. And I think Underwood was right. I think it's matchup dictated. I think Grant was so much a better matchup against, you know, Kansas's front court than Luke Goody. And that's not a knock on Luke. There's going to be other times when Luke will be a great matchup because there might be a situation where he can, you know, take advantage of his ability to shoot the basketball. So, but yeah, sometimes it's going to be matchup related at the end of the game. Maybe there might be a situation where you need to handle the ball better, whatever. So, yeah, I think it's just a matter of seeing what happens and letting the game play out.
The other thing I thought they did a good job on matchups with is while Elmarco Jackson is certainly a supreme level athlete, I thought that on the defensive end, Illinois really went after him hard. But what did you guys notice that as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but if you pick those perimeter guys, which one are you going after?
Well, yeah, exactly. It wasn't hard to say you're going to go after the one with less experience. The freshman
who, yeah, exactly. When you got three guys who are so athletic and quick and long and stuff. So, yeah, I think it made sense. Illinois obviously attacked him, and they attacked Hunter Dickinson. I mean, they went after Hunter in those ball screen actions. And they wanted to make him defend in space and did a good job. I thought Bill Self made a great adjustment too, and he put Hunter Dickinson on Ty Rogers. And you see how difficult it is for Ty against that bigger opponent, because when he gets the smaller guys, he can kind of bully ball them. But now the question is, so let's, Hunter doesn't have to come out on Ty, and it creates you got to keep moving, got to keep playing through that. Ty's always available for a release then too, so you can get some ball off ball action. So Illinois doesn't quite know how to counter those things because there hasn't been any scouting done. They haven't run much. That's a learning. That's all this learning curve that they're going to have to figure out.
I'll tell you, for me, one thing I will admit when I'm wrong, obviously Terrence Shannon was great and Domask and, Quincy and Coleman. The one guy that I was really impressed with tonight that proved me wrong was Ty Rogers. One of my concerns was seeing him bring the ball up against pressure. I didn't think he could do it, and he did. He proved me wrong. And I'm going to tell you what I like about it now moving forward, because when he can do it, how many teams are going to have a guy that's big enough to guard him like that at the point guard spot? Because if you take your point guard out because if Ty punishes the way he did to start the game with, that's advantage Illinois all over the place. So I like that. I was a little disappointed in the end because that tells me that he maybe did, he's not improved his free throw shooting, even though it looked better tonight. Dane just did not. But Ty has looked a little bit better. I think the more he plays that position, the better he's going to be. He can really punish people. He's quick enough to blow by a lot of guys. So I was really encouraged by that. And, kudos to the staff for seeing it, because me being blind, I didn't think he could do it. And he definitely proved me wrong.
I just wanted to kind of dovetail off of what Ked said, and that after the last media timeout, I guess Illinois went to a lineup where if you can't buy beer, you're not going to be on the floor. Because the idea of going to the old guy lineup, I think really works. I don't know if it's necessarily maybe it is. Like there's a reason why they can't have Ty on the floor, but I do think there was a point of emphasis by Underwood of I just want my five old guys on the floor. And Ty is only 20. Like, so the idea that, I really liked that. It's the highlight of my feature coming out of this is that, Brad Underwood kind of gave you a preview of what I think he'd like the crunch time lineup to be for the time being, which is five old guys that know how to play and aren't going to do stupid stuff. And I can rely on them. And I think that's going to be a winning formula for Illinois, at least early on, because Underwood talks all the time about getting old and staying old. And with, under 4 minutes left to go, there wasn't a whole lot of, I don't know what I'm doing out there. And it's because he went to a 24-year-old, two 23-year-olds, a 22-year-old and a 21-year-old who turns 22 in December. So that's also something even in this era that I don't think a whole lot of teams can go to at this point. And Brad can.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one there, because it seems like the defense is what sets those guys. I mean, as much as I guess the defense and the free throw shooting are the two things that seems to set the old guys apart. The only thing that I saw from watching via television, you guys were all in the front row, the only kind of disappointment that I saw was Coleman did continue a few of his antics of providing his judgment of the calls when he didn't like them. Brad, was that something that was very visible on press row? Because maybe it was just the cameras fixating on Coleman.
No, I think he did. And I think the only thing he was out argued by Kevin McCullers and Hunter Dickinson. So, when you put those three together on the floor, there was a lot of complaining going on.
Now Robbie Hummel, I will say, came to Coleman's defense in two of his five fouls. Robbie did say there was absolutely no contact there. So,
yeah. I think he got a couple of bad calls. I do think And I think, but, you know, I think McCullers may have got a bad call once too. And
yeah,
you know, so forth. So yeah, it happens. You know, it's part of the game and you just got to battle through it. And I think that's where I think this game was such a hotly contested game for an exhibition. And the other thing was, I think guys were gassed. The Illinois guys were gassed at the end. I mean, they hadn't played. Remember, they started practice a week later. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I took away is taking away practice. And Kansas played four guys 34 minutes or more. So yeah. you saw them already kind of be in game shape. I don't think Illinois is quite there yet.
One of the things I'll tell you, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ked.
I knew there was one play where, I mean, I think the official ran down the court and he missed it. Coleman clearly got clobbered by it and he missed it. But at the end of the day, I will tell you this. You know, I asked, you know, Coach Self a question, and the one thing he told us in that press conference, Coleman Hawkins was kind of the X factor, you know, because he's a tough matchup. Now, we've seen Coleman be really, really good, and then, you know, I guess from a scoring standpoint, and then not. I think if Coleman Hawkins can shoot the ball just half the way he did tonight, Illinois is going to be really dangerous, because that pick and pop, you're going to get punished for Terrence Shannon. And if you notice, Coleman is always screening Terrence Shannon Jr. or Marcus Domas. So that's a dangerous weapon. When Brad Underwood first got Coleman Hawkins, that was his thing. I want a 6'9", 6'10 guy that could really shoot it. Today, I think the biggest shot of the game, Bill Self was saying that press roll, under no circumstances does Terrence Shannon to get the basketball. And Coleman Hawkins was trying to give it to him. Then he just stepped up and knocked down a three. I thought that was huge. A lot of people think the Quincy three in the corner was huge, and it was. But I think Coleman knocking down that three, because everybody in the gym knew the ball was trying to go to Terrence, that shows growth with Coleman. But I hope he can do this all season.
To dovetail off of that, I might be wrong, but I tend to remember Coleman playing really well against Michigan because Hunter can't guard him. Like, that's the thing I took away from Coleman's game tonight is Coleman's played Hunter Dickinson before, and like every time they play Michigan, he can't guard him. So like I felt like Coleman was going to have a big night. The fouls thing was funny to me because like we're all bitching about calls and you can't foul out of the game. What are you bitching about? Like, you know, Coleman could have fouled Hunter 10 times. He wasn't going to foul out of this game. We were playing an NBA summer league rules tonight. Like, and so no, Coleman was doing what Coleman does. Hunter was doing what Hunter does. And neither one of them are bashful about letting them know who they are. But Coleman's always played well against Michigan. When Hunter was there, I don't know why another jersey would make a difference there. And I think offensively, he knew he had a matchup that he liked. I thought the difference in the game, and maybe I'm wrong, but was Justin Harmon. I think that kid's going to, you know, I say kid, he's 22 years old. He's going to find him the floor a lot just because A, he plays hard. B, he guards the hell out of people. And C, he's really, really active. And he's bought into this role after being the dude at Utah Valley. And I think he's bought into this role that Underwood says he hasn't carved out a role for everybody. But I think he's bought into this kind of energy role, junkyard kind of garbage guy kind of role that I think Illinois is going to need this year. And I was really impressed by him. He was really, really active. He was really, really clean. No turnovers. If he plays clean and he plays active, he's going to find a role on the floor because he can do so many different things, both offensively and defensively for you. And I feel like when he's out there, just like I feel like with Ty at point, I feel like the ball moves, and you saw that a little bit tonight. And I feel like he could be an X factor for this team going forward, just simply because of his energy level and his ability to play hard.
Yeah, and I thought actually Sincere, for the limited time he was in, was actually causing quite a bit of problems. And I actually thought the foul that he was called for, I thought that was clearly a moving pick. And again, I had Robbie Hummel was actually on my side most of the night, so I had no idea what to do. It was the TV announcer was on my side. It was an identity crisis for me at home. But and I thought Sincere was out there causing issues. And when you have him and Harmon, you know, that's 30 minutes of a guy who's just a thorn in the side of the other team. I mean, that's not fun when they can throw two guys at you like that. Brad, any thoughts?
No, I totally agree with you, Mike. I think the problem you have there is that Justin Harmon has taken a little bit of that Sincere Harris role, and he can make a shot and score a little bit better. And also, so he's 22 years old. So now you take that, and it's going to be hard for Sincere to take minutes away from him because he's just not quite the the experience. It doesn't have the experience of Justin Harmon. So that's where, Sincere's got to bide his time. There's going to be games when they're going to need Sincere and his defensive presence, but it's hard to have, so many guys. You can't play, we get to this situation, you can't play like Ty Rogers, Dane Danger, and Sincere Harris together because you don't have it, because it's just not a good mix. So this is where you have to, Brad Underwood's got to find the right lineups, right rotations, and guys are going to have to earn their minutes, and that's not always a bad thing. I understand that it's going to be hard to keep them happy, but you know what keeps people a lot happier? Winning.
Winning would do that. And also, Brad, you're right. If you want to be on the court, you got to play better. But, you mentioned Sincere Harris. I remember going back to last year, the UCLA game, when he single-handedly, sparked the team and he got the turnaround. Every kid on that team is going to have a moment this year. So they're all going to have it. Sports, it's just the way it is. There's going to be some nights where Tatum Shannon can't put up with the ocean, and maybe it's Draymond gets on horn or Amani. So they just have to bide their time. And it's hard for freshmen to understand that this is a very old basketball team. But right now, I don't know what the locker room is like. Like I mentioned earlier when I first got on the podcast, you're competitive, yeah. You want to play, you want to be out there. And they've all talked about how close his locker room is and how well they get along. Now when the lights are on the court and you're not getting a lot of picks, I'm really curious to see how this play out.
I just want to add the whole minutes thing. I think Sturdy pointed this out, but I don't remember when Coleman got his second foul, but Brad Underwood is still the head coach of this team. And so if Coleman had gotten his second foul, and I believe he did in the first half, Coleman's sitting. And so I look at Dane Danger's minutes, and he played 8.5 minutes tonight. And I look at Coleman's minutes, and he played 29. And if Coleman's going to get handsy on defense like that, I know he's covering Hunter, and on that end of the floor, it's a bad deal. But if he gets two fouls before the halftime whistle, you're going to see more minutes out of Dane Danger, and you're going to see less minutes out of Coleman Hawkins. So I think foul trouble with everybody is kind of covered up. Like Sturdy and I were talking about it on Press Row, except for Terrence. Like Terrence can't get into foul trouble because I don't think they have somebody that can, cover what he does, everything that he does on the floor. But I think, this team is less susceptible to foul trouble, like from a Coleman Hawkins, from a Dane Danger, from a Quincy Guerriere, like than they ever have been, maybe in the Underwood era. And I think that if they had actually played this game like an actual game where you could foul out, I do think that the rotation minutes would look a little bit more normal, especially for a guy like Dane, because you would think defensively he has the physical ability to match up with Hunter a little bit better than Coleman can. Because there's times where I don't know why it took Kansas so long to figure this out, but Hunter can just bully Coleman all the way down at to the end of the block and then just get 2 points. So I think I said initially that Luke and Dane kind of disappointed me because they didn't give me what I thought, they were going to give you for veteran presence. But if this had actually been a game, I think they probably would have played more simply because of the foul trouble that Coleman got into. And that's going to happen to a lot of guys in this team. And I think that they have that covered up for everybody except for TJ Shannon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Brad, any final thoughts as we kind of put this in the mirror, in the rearview mirror, and kind of think about the Eastern Illinois game in 8 days that'll kind of start up, the season and get us raring to go?
Well, I think the big thing is don't take too much out of this other than the fact that Illinois showed they can compete with a really good basketball team. And they compete with about anybody. And they showed that they do have quality depth. They are veteran. And they show that they can get stops at the end of a game. You remember last year, that was a huge issue. And they got some stops in this game. When they needed them. And this was Brad Underwood, they hang their hat on defense a lot and try and get those stops late in the game. And they got some of those today. And that was big. And so my takeaway is they can compete with teams. Now you got to go out and get better over the next 8 days and get ready for the season, because I think the first true test is going to be was, I think it's November 14th when Marquette comes to town. And that's, you got to have that same energy, got to play that same level. If they do, you know, this team suddenly, they're going to start, if they can, you know, get up, play like this against Marquette, then you're going to see a team that really is going to get people excited about Illinois basketball.
Ed?
For me, you know, it was a good test. It was on Big Ten Network, and everybody saw it. Regardless of what we think, they passed the eye test tonight. I have no idea what the announcers were saying. I don't know what Robbie Hummel was saying or Andy Katz. I know he was there. But they passed the eye test to me, and that's good. That's good PR. A lot of people, I don't care about the rankings. It does. It matters. It matters to me because it puts your name on the ticket. It puts your name in the elite group of people that you're one of the better programs in the country. So they did it on the big stage. One game, but I want to see them get better. And there's not a lot of room for improvement for tonight. So, you know, we talked about. But other than that, enjoy the win, the Illini fans, and, you know, you deserve it. And hopefully they can have the year that we all think this group can have.
I think tonight Underwood needed a win badly. I don't know why I feel that way, but I think he was the coach on, there were two coaches on the sideline tonight. One needed a win really badly, and I thought it was Underwood because he can go, look at what Sturdy said, he can go to this team now and say, hey, look, when you play your butt off, you can beat anybody in the country. You just proved it, right? That was big for that. I think that's big for this team. Bill Self probably needed a loss. And I say that because he can now go get on the plane and tell these guys, you know, if you play this way, anybody can beat you. Look, I mean, anybody that's decent that can beat you. Look at what just happened. And if we play the, he said it tonight, if we give up 82 points on the road, we're going to get beat. And I tend to agree with him. Like, and I think that Underwood feels the same way. If we give up 82 on the road at any point, we're going to get beat too. And so I feel like it was a good, you know, it was a good exhibition for both of the programs and both of their head coaches, because I think they got what they wanted. And the other thing was, and I heard Sturdy say this, and we both agreed with it, Illinois was gassed at the end of this game. So I think Fletch saw some things where he's like, okay, I can get these guys. I know you don't usually do it during the year, but he says, I can get these guys probably in better condition, maybe by New Year's Day, or maybe even before Christmas, to where, you know, we're able to play maybe a 9-10 man rotation in a high intensity level basketball game, because they were not ready to do that tonight. And they kind of inched their way across the finish line tonight, simply because Kansas has no depth either, and they're not going to have any depth all year. So they were able to do that against a team that probably is going to play a 7-8 man rotation all year long. And one of those eight is hurt right now. So Bill knows he has no depth right now. And so that was a key for Illinois. But I think the one thing that I think Underwood wants to get fixed really quick is, I think this team needs to play with energy all of the time. And Sturdy's right. They started out a week late, and I think that they're a week late of getting in the right kind of game type condition. I don't have any doubt that when Marquette comes that they'll be in that kind of condition, but that's something that's now on tape that says, hey guys, look at how you guys are kind of dragging a little bit, especially on the defensive end of the floor. I think that's the thing that Fletch can get into them on really, really quickly. But I think from an execution standpoint and from a just understanding how to play basketball standpoint, this was an A for me, just simply because Underwood can go to so many guys who have played so much basketball that they kind of know how to get this done. And I think it's a very, very mature, experienced basketball team that can do a lot of great things.
Matt just gave everybody an A. I don't even know where to go from there. It's just like, holy cow, this Underwood gets a gold star. And I do think not just Coach Underwood needed the win, but I think Josh Whitman needed the win. And I think Brett Bielema was probably happy that Underwood got the win. And there's just a lot of with the disappointment of football season not going as well as people would like at this point. But I think Illinois fans as a whole are happy to see this as a beginning. So
last I checked, Cadley, the best you can do is have a one by your name. And Kansas showed up tonight with a one by their name.
I
Illinois beat them. So it's hard for me to not give them an A if they beat the best team in the country. I agree with Ked that I don't think Kansas is the number one team in the country, but right now they're going to start the year with a one by their name, and Illinois just beat them by seven. Like,
yeah.
And it'd be hard for me to give them any other grade other than an A. I would just be probably the most awful teacher in the world if I did that. And so, yeah, Illinois gets an A tonight because damn it, they just played hard. And I love it when teams play hard on both ends of the floor, and I love when teams play smart basketball, and that's kind of what Illinois's got right now.
Yeah, and I just wonder if Illinois has some success, because they play a very tough schedule with multiple top 10 teams. If Illinois has some success early in the season, you know, will voters give them a little extra push up the rankings because they beat Kansas in a game that will never have happened because it was an exhibition? I think they will get a little bit of a push. But when you play teams like Marquette, you still got to beat those guys, so there's no guarantees. So, folks, we will be back after a minute here, but wanted to thank the guys for coming on. Appreciate your efforts after a long evening over in Champaign, but a very fun evening. Give us one more minute, and we'll be right back. Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know. And this is Mike Kegley again, and I'd like to thank Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, and Matt Stevens for stopping by and talking about the victory tonight. Of course, we will have our Minnesota versus Illinois football preview that'll be out tomorrow night. And of course, towards the end of the week, Thursday night, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular will be out, so you can have time to get prepared for the game and everything that's going to go on this weekend. So make sure you go to your podcast purveyor and search for Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. It is pretty much everywhere that podcasts are distributed, and that show is a lot of fun as well. Until then, go Illini!